following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to Turn 89 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast based on the Hearthstone game. We are a casual crew of casual players with an oh-so-casual podcast. And with me is casually sitting from the Spiders and Snakes. Ugly Brute.
Either way.
Creepy crawly things. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Can I just very quickly say something about our opening music?
Please do.
And that is that I love it. You know how sometimes you play air guitar when you listen to like heavy rock and roll?
Yeah.
This is the only song where I play air violin.
Oh, I bop around. I love it. It's I love so cool. Awesome City Limits. They are just, they're great. Great, great crew. Who are now following us on Twitter as well, which is pretty neat. But let's not forget our other host, Autumn's Bane.
He was obsessed with explosives until he discovered knitting. Now he yells, "Sweaters! More sweaters!"
that is so bizarre. Not the explosive sheep. Oh my gosh. I don't know.
I can't think of any minion that wears sweaters.
An explosive sweater? I don't know. What is it?
It is Mechgineer Thermoplug. 9 casting cost. Legendary mech minion. 9/7. Whenever an enemy minion dies, summon a leper gnome.
Awesome.
Okay.
I'll have to look for his sweater next time I look at him.
No, he doesn't have a sweater. He's usually like more bombs, or but more explosives. Or something.
Does now, he have like knitting needles in his back pocket?
No, I think somebody at Blizzard just thought it was funny.
Okay. All right, so we're going to be out of order this week. We're always out of order, but we're going to talk about the brawl first. This week's brawl started for us on Wednesday, and Wednesday afternoon for me later than, you know, because it's 10 o'clock Pacific. 10 mana and create your own deck. You start out with 10 mana, so I thought, made my own deck. Did it at work. Did what I said I would never, ever, ever do, which is the second week I think I said this. I was going to play on my cell phone, created my deck, and promptly got in, promptly started the brawl, and DC'd.
No!
Yes. So what happened when I get back? Ready? I made a mage deck. What do you think happened when I finally got back into the game 15 minutes later?
I already know.
Ugly Brute.
You disconnected again.
No, there was a card. There was a card pack waiting for me.
Oh, sweet! So, what happened? Do you reckon?
I think that he saw that he was going to be playing against a mage, and I think he quit.
Oh, that's awesome.
He
got tired of waiting for you to take your turn.
No, because then he could. That would be an automatic win.
Yeah, but he didn't know you were disconnected.
But that would be an automatic win. That would be an automatic win.
Black Lace, you got inside his head, man.
It wouldn't be an automatic win if you disconnect, because the game will try to reconnect you.
No, but I'm saying for the other person, they wouldn't sit around, they wouldn't just concede because they think somebody disconnected.
No, he didn't think you disconnected. He thought that you were just taking too long to go.
Yeah, and because Brawl's casual, I reckon he probably thought, you know what, I'm not hanging around if they're going to be this slow every turn.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. That could have happened too. Except the first turn, I would never have gone. The fuse would have burnt out without me making a move.
But you should. They would have figured out I disconnected. shout out a thank you to this guy, Blacklace, because he gave you a free card.
To whoever you were who got me the free pack of cards.
Did you get your free 40 dust?
I got my free 40 dust, exactly. It's exactly what I got. But that was my experience with it. And then I tried a couple more games and realized that all I was doing was building legendary decks, because I was able to get out every legendary in turn one or something. And I had a couple little wee characters that could come out really quickly to try and storm the board. And it was kind of I liked it better when Blizzard built my legendary deck. So what do you guys think of this week?
Who do you want to go first?
Well, since you put it that way, I'll let you go first this time.
Okay. I can sum it up in three turns. Turn one, I play Ysera. My warrior opponent casts Inner Rage and Execute, then played a Warsong Commander, pumped it up with Taskmaster, who attacked for two. The Taskmaster did, not the Commander. So then I played Ysera and a Silverhand Recruit, because I was playing a Paladin, after consecrating his minions. So then I forgot what he did next. I cast Thermoplug. Oh, no, the second turn I played the card The Laughing Sister, the 3/5 that can't be targeted, and the Silverhand Recruit. I obviously didn't play Ysera again. I played that card from Ysera. So now Ysera came out, Ysera's dead, but the Laughing Sister is out, the Silverhand Recruit's out. I consecrated away all his minions. Third turn, I cast Thermoplug. He concedes. I get a free King Crush.
Nice.
That was my week.
Awesome.
But you are forgetting something, AB. You also got a golden something.
My third golden young dragon hawk, so I got extra dust.
Lots of dust. Did you play any more after that game, or did you just end right there and not go into the brawl?
Why bother?
Alright.
It's like saying, here's $1 million, go shopping, and then, kind of get bored after the first few hundred thousand, right? No, I'm just kidding. It's just too much. It's like, okay, here's all the resources you need. Just go have fun. It was too gimmicky for my taste. I'm sure it was this was not my worst hated brawl, and it wasn't my favorite brawl. This is kind of what I expected brawl to be. It was kind of, here's a switch to the game. Here's something new to try. Have fun with it. And I know lots of people had fun with it, and good for them. It's just, it didn't hold my interest. I mean, it was meh.
So I thought it was eh. You thought it was meh. What does Ugly Brute think?
I loved it. For me, it was the best one so far.
Sorry, go ahead.
I know. I just loved it. I loved the fact that it was 10 mana straight away. None of this, lead up to your big stuff, and hopefully you'll live long enough to play it. It was just, let's get it all out there. Thermoplug, like AB said. There's just so much that you could play. I thought straight away when I saw it, I thought, I'm going to go Priest, because I can steal whatever. If they put something massive on that board in turn one, I can just have it on turn two. And I know, I'm not a big fan.
It's worse than that, Blacklace, because while I'm playing my game, Black Ugly Brute is sending me message after message. You should play a Priest. A Priest could do this. A Priest could do that. Meanwhile, I'm trying to beat this guy, and fortunately, the turn it only lasted three turns. So go on, Ugly Brute.
You had the last laugh all this game because you got the gold, you got the crush. I think it was fantastic for people who had. Last week we were talking about the brawl being good for people who didn't have a large collection, because you got given all these awesome cards and legends to play with by Blizzard. This week, though, you had to go from your own collection, and basically whoever had a collection of legends and a collection of, 9-10 mana creatures was going to probably win. So I guess for people with smaller collections, this week's brawl probably wasn't that much fun. But for those of us who, haven't always got to play with our Nozdormus or haven't always got to play with our Thermoplugs, it was a great opportunity to get them out there on turn one.
Agreed. And I just got to do a hats off to one of our listeners, Crosley, who played Are You Ready? He sent us a screenshot.
Yep.
He won 50 brawls.
Wow.
50. And then I think he was done after
Which means he probably played more than that. That's a lot of games to play. I think
that is a lot.
I don't think the two of us play 50 plus games in a week.
Nope, he was totally enjoying this brawl. So I was impressed to see that number. That was pretty cool. So hats off to Crossley. All right, moving on from brawling to, oops, our embarrassing moments. We don't have any embarrassing moments sent by listeners, but Ugly Brute and I have some embarrassing moments. And Autumn's Bane, did you have any?
No, I'm never embarrassed.
Okay, Ugly Brute, what happened to you?
I'll go first. Okay, so you may remember a week or two ago, Black Lace, you were talking about your embarrassing moment with the Rogue, where you'd have your dagger out and you'd have a minion out, and you'd just straight away play that Tinker's Sharp Sword Oil and realize that it was supposed to be comboed, and you messed up. Well, I did the opposite. What I did was I made sure I had a minion on the board. So I went, check, I've got a minion on the board. I played another card first to get the combo. So I went, check, I played another card first. So my Tinker's Sharp Sword Oil is going to combo now. Then I threw out my Tinker's Sharp Sword Oil. My oil hit my minion, but I did not have any weapon.
So
it was a complete waste of time.
Oops.
Now, the entire week, I've focused on Rogue. Have a guess how many times I made that exact mistake.
Three.
Exactly. Three times I threw out Tinker's Sharp Sword Oil and didn't even have a weapon. That was so embarrassing. In fact, one of the times I actually just quit.
So are you like babysitting or watching TV or...
No,
listening to a podcast or something while you were making these mistakes over and over again?
No, I was just, well, they were different times during the week, but I just had it in my head. I have to remember to combo a card with this Tinker's Sharp Sword Oil, and I have to remember I've got to have a minion that can attack. And I kept forgetting that I also had to check that I had a dagger out.
Yeah, that's some advice. You have to remember to have a weapon to enchant that weapon.
Learn from this mistake, people.
You did yours three times, so I don't feel so bad that I did my stupid thing twice.
Oh, good.
I was playing my... Which was it this time? I think it was my Warlock deck, and I was having a blast with my Warlock deck. Even though I did these screw-ups, usually when you screw something up, you wind up losing the game. Luckily, these really stupid oopses... didn't lose me the game. I'm sorry, once was with my Warlock and the other time was with my Shaman. You would have thought I would have learned. The one with the Shaman is I had a bunch of mana left, 4, 5, 6 mana left. So what do? I have a Defender of Argus. Defender of Argus, obviously, is the one that casts a +1/+1 to each side of him and gives those minions taunt. So I cast him before I cast my totem. You see the problem here. Cast him, and I'm like, shit. I was supposed to cast my totem and put him in the middle, so that totem would have become a 2/3 creature with, a 1/2 creature with taunt. No, didn't. Screwed it up. So I only had him sitting on the end and somebody on the other end of the computer laughing. And then I played my Warlock, and I cast Implosion, which I cast on something of his and got 4 little imps standing out. And instead of putting the Defender of Argus in the middle of all my imps, I put them over to the right. So one imp became a 2/2 imp. Yep. Did it again. I won that game. I don't know how it happened, but I mean, both times I'm sitting there. Well, the second time it was alcohol related. I don't have an excuse for the first time.
I think the Defender of Argus needs to sit you down and just talk you through how he works.
Yes. It's no, you know what? It's one of those slowdowns. You know how we were talking about that last week?
Yeah.
Just in such a hurry to drop him and then hit end turn, because the next turn and I would, you know, be able to use the little minions and do all that stuff. And each time I was like, crap. I just waited a little longer.
Ah, well, we can't all be perfect like Autumn's Bane Black Lace. You and I made mistakes this week.
You know, that Autumn's Bane.
I never said I was perfect. I just said I don't make mistakes. No erasers on my pencils.
You don't use Classic. Pencils, you use pens. But anyway.
That's confidence.
I got so many people offering me their decks this week.
How many?
It's kind of funny, though. Actually, I had so many decks offered to me. I had 5 decks offered to me this week, but I only played with one.
Well done.
I will be playing other people's decks next week, and please, again, keep them... I won't say it. Keep sending them in. This deck, I call the... I don't know. He didn't give me his name, so I called it the Kinsey Shaman deck. And he will know who he is because he knows his name. Anyway, he sent me this following deck, and I'm going to, again, if I don't say 2, it means there are 2. Ancestral Healing. It is Shaman. I did say that right. Ancestral Healing, Rockbiter Weapon, Crackle, Reincarnate, Flame Tongue Totem, Loot Hoarder, 1 Farsight, 2 if you can, if you have 2 Farsights, and I got to tell you something about that too. 2 Hex, 2 Acolyte of Pain, I'm doing it again, 1 Cold Light Oracle, which you're going to replace with Farsight if you have that second Farsight, a Baron Rivendear, Cult Master, Gnomish Inventor, Bloodlust, and then one of the following, Antique Heobot, Fugin, Lothbeb, Stalag, and Kel'Thuzad. Now, the theory behind the deck is, if possible, you want Kel out, so that when Fugin and Stalag both die in the same turn or however, you suddenly have, who is that?
Thaddeus.
Thaddeuses. Thaddei? Yes, Thaddeuses. So that you have several Thaddeuses. 2 Thaddei. That's his basic strategy, stay alive, draw cards until you get the combo, kind of like the Patron Warrior, then try to play it until you have either Fugin or Stalag die, have either Fugin or Stalag die, and then use Reincarnate on the other, which gives you Thaddeus a way to make another. Bonus points if you have Baron Rivendear, so you get 2 Thaddei.
Nice. Hey, Black Lace?
Yes?
If you have Thaddei, does that mean your opponent is Cacti?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just, yeah. All right, so here's the thing that really pissed me off about Farsight. I did have a second Farsight, and I was all excited about using Farsight. Now, Farsight, when you use it, your next spell basically costs 3 less. It costs, I think, 3 to cast it or something like that.
Yep.
Bad me for not having it down. What happens when I cast my Farsight? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Whatever. I cast my Farsight and I got a Farsight. Okay, now my Farsight
so
is worth
0.
Yes, now it's worth 0, so I get to cast it again, which is a waste of card in the deck. Thought it would happen, you know, it wouldn't happen often. Next game, exact same thing happened. Cast my Farsight, get a Farsight. Like, what is this? So
that's called bad RNG is what it is.
Very bad RNG.
Did you rage?
No, I didn't. I giggled, actually. I just thought it was so funny that kept happening. What happened? The first time I played it, I played against a lock who obliterated me. I didn't lose this game. I got obliterated. There's a big difference. I had the Rockbiter and the Flame Totem. They worked well together for fast damage. Then I realized there was really no AoE in this. So I couldn't, like, wipe the other opponent out. So I had no real AoE. I didn't have any taunts, so I couldn't block anything. And I had Baron Rivendear. The only cards with Death Rattle I had were Fugin and Stalag. So unless they were out, there was no reason to really even cast them. So it wasn't working for me, so I figured, okay, let's see what could happen. I played against a mage. And again, I didn't lose. He obliterated me. Fugin and Stalag never showed. They never showed up at all.
They didn't get the invitation.
No, I had a fun opening. That was the first game. Fugin and Stalag never showed during my lock. During my mage, I get Fugin right away. I'm like really excited. Okay, maybe it'll work this time. What does the mage do? He sheeps it, which defeats the premise because now it's not something that's going to come back with when Stalag dies.
Ah, because technically
it won't die, so you don't get
it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, mage obliterated. Okay, the hunter I played, more of the same. Totally. Now, we've got 3 losses in a row. I'm sitting here going, what the hell? Played against a priest. Had Stalag in my opening hand.
Ooh.
This is a normal priest. Things started. He started getting his cards. Started stealing my cards. Somehow, On round 6, he had a 5-5 creature, a 4-5 creature, a 4-3 creature. I had a 0-2 creature. I died round 6. Done. 4 games in a row lost. Came up against Thrall, figured, okay, you know, shaman against shaman, maybe something can happen here. Something happened in the middle. 2 cards in, he conceded. I had to discard Rivendear because I wanted to get other cards to start with, and I get him as my first draw. So I wasn't able to play him, but I didn't get very far because with the shaman deck, he conceded. So technically I won 1 and lost 4, but I didn't feel like that win was fair. So I played Autumn's Bane against a druid. I don't know what happened here, but this deck worked.
I'll tell you
against
what happened.
Autumn Bane.
The deck worked exactly as it was intended to.
Oh my god. I had
so
Stalagout at the same.
She was
yes.
reincarnating things left and right. There were 2 Thaddei on the table. I was just whomped. And she played against my druid. And my druid is a very good deck. It has a very high win ratio. And silence, just too many things that needed silencing. Taunts didn't matter. They just stomped over my taunts. I mean, she could tell you the details, but
oh,
it was embarrassing for her to tell me how badly this deck lost over and over again. And then she plays me, and it was like playing a face hunter married to a priest.
So did you give her the silent treatment for the rest of the night after that?
No, I was just glad to see that whatever this guy had intended when he created this deck,
it did
worked work on that game.
And then unfortunately, I was playing a game again on my iPhone, and I wanted to play my shaman deck, and I accidentally picked his shaman deck while I was in ranked. So I was like, oh crap, not this deck. And again, I got totally obliterated. So it's a gimmicky deck. When it works like thunder and lightning. It was just incredible. But
awesome.
It doesn't often work, unfortunately, because as I said, with the majority of them, I lost. But it was fun just to try something new. So
it relies on too few cards to make everything click.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And I thank you, Sir Kindley, for sending me your shaman deck. And letting me play with it. So, onward
Sweet.
And upward. Let's see, Ugly Brute, why don't you talk for a little while? Tell us about the tourneys of the week.
Sure, yeah. Well, again, the Archon Team League is the one that I really love to follow. So, keeping an eye on that. They're about 1 week behind at the moment, though, because they had to delay finishing off week 4's games because of the announcement. They didn't want to be on air at the same time as the announcement. But they finally did finish week 4. And there's a new leader. The new leader is Trump's team, Value Town. And it's really Brian Kibler, the Magic player who's come over to play Hearthstone now. He really is the one who's taking the lead there for them. Have a guess what his win rate is so far. After 4 weeks of playing games, what do you think his win rate is?
90%?
90%?
I was going to say 90.
Okay. 100%.
Holy crap.
Yep. 100%.
What, he hasn't lost a game in
4 weeks, no. And, but by the way, that equates to 8 games. So, it's not like he's been playing hundreds of games. He's played
still
8 games
over
4. Still, an
8-game winning streak is nothing to... I mean, when you're playing against other champions,
playing against other
that's nothing
players.
To sneeze at. That's pretty nice.
Well, to give you another idea, his other teammates, no reflection on them because they're still excellent players, but his other teammates have averaged a 54% win rate. So that gives you an idea. To be 100% win rate at this level is amazing. But why I really wanted to mention Brian Kibler is he wrote a really interesting article after this week of the tournament. And what was interesting in his article, I won't go through the whole lot, but just the one point I wanted to bring out was research. You don't realize how much research these pro players put into tournaments. He mentioned that they had to go up against Team Nihilum this week, and they researched all of Team Nihilum's games so far, and they realized that Team Nihilum was not using big game hunters very much. So Brian decided, or Kibler decided, that he was going to add Fel Reavers to his Mech Shaman, because he thought, well, look, if their decks don't have very many BGHs in them, I'm going to try my Fel Reavers in my Mech Shaman. And wow, it worked. It paid off for them. He won all of his games with his Fel Reavers. Nylum also did their homework, though. Brian was saying in his article that Nylum realized that one mistake that Brian's team was doing was they were bringing Handlock every week. So they designed some Handlock crushing decks. And every time Trump or anyone played Handlock, they were losing. So it was a very close game because of that. But in the end, they won at the on the final game. They got ahead. So for now, the leaders in the tournament, Value Town.
That's interesting, but it also teaches you a lesson. Don't be too predictable.
Exactly.
When they keep doing the same thing over and over again, they're going to have people building decks to thwart them.
Exactly. And I must admit, it does get you excited about tournaments. There's something you can't really do on ladder, but in tournaments, there's that whole new depth to it in that strategy of knowing, okay, I've seen this person play their decks, so how am I going to work against this deck, and coming up with some strategies that way. And reading that article, it really opened my mind to how pro gamers process information and use it in deck building.
Yeah. And then there's the case of when they're constantly using the same deck, it would be my luck that I would build a deck to thwart it, and when I finally played the deck to thwart it, they'd have changed their deck.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to move on, because we've got some really big news this week. Yes.
The Grand Tournament!
Yes.
Woo-hoo!
As we suspected, they have announced the Grand Tournament.
Know what the best part is?
What?
I do not have to eat my hat.
So hats don't taste very good.
I said if it wasn't a new expansion of cards that I would eat my hat. But that's exactly what it was.
It was.
The hat lives for another year.
Yes, it does. And I'm very glad, because I bought you that hat. Okay, so we are going to just briefly, I'm going to go over a couple of little things, which aren't little things, they're all big things, but we want to get into the meat and potatoes of this. So I'm going to say that it is going to be released in August. It has a card that really, really impacts hero powers, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. There are going to be 132 new cards. We're going to talk about some of them in a little bit. There is a new ability, which is, they call keywords, called Inspired, which the Grand Tournament stands as a shining beacon of friendly competition, emboldening your Hearthstone collection with an impressive procession of knightly prowess. Hearthstone's newest minion keyword, Inspire, activates your hero power after your hero power is used. Utilizing your hero power while a minion with Inspire is on the board will result in one of any number of effects, which a few can be seen, and then we're going to talk about. So Inspire happens after you use your hero power, and the hero powers have the ability to be altered. So that's really fun stuff. Then there's a new board, and there's a really pretty game board, which is basically looks like a tournament. It's got tents and target dummies and food vendors.
Archery
targets. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. And then another surprise for Arena Rewards. Not only will you have the chance of getting a classic deck, which is a normal arena ward, or a goblin versus goblin, not deck, but a card pack, but they're going to be throwing grand tourney card packs in as arena rewards too. So it's going to be random, but you can get either a classic goblin versus gnomes or grand tourney card pack as a reward. Last but certainly not least, they're going to be doing a pre-purchase. $49.99, a new card back, and 50 packs for $49.99, which is better than their normal deal. It's usually, isn't it, 40?
It's 40 packs for that price.
Yep, so this time it's 50 packs and a new card back. So very exciting stuff coming up. So we want to talk about the new stuff that's coming out. And
we want to talk about how we found out this news initially, though, right?
Oh, yes. You're going to tell us this.
Yeah. So I found out that the live stream through Twitch about this tournament announcement was going to be right around the time I get home from work. So I got to my desk, turned on the computer, and the little video, which you could see at the Hearthstone site, had just finished playing, and Eric Dodds gets on there and does all these cool announcements in this talk. It's like watching a segment of BlizzCon for a little while there. And he announced all these things, and some very weird sound effects. I don't know if he was whining or has a weird laugh. He sounded like my dog.
Nah.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, it was like an excited little giggle, wasn't it? He was just so excited to be sharing with us what he was talking about.
I don't know if that's his laugh or somebody in the audience. I think it was him doing it because he was the only one with a mic.
Yeah, it was him. He's a nerd just like all of us. He's excited about this stuff.
Yeah, he was clearly excited. That's what I love about when these Blizzard
Very
people
awesome.
Get up there. They're as excited as we are. So I got to see all these things firsthand, and Twitter went live as I went to tweet something out. I'm like, oh, everybody else is tweeting it too. So the news came out real quick. I think you might be able to still see that Twitch stream if you're interested. There was a tournament after, not a tournament, there was some card play going on afterwards where you could actually see some of the cards in play. They were pre-made games by Blizzard. I didn't watch it, but I bet you can still watch it. Have you tried Ugly Brute?
No, I deliberately didn't want to. I just wanted to listen to the announcement. But
yeah, that's all I did.
An interesting thought. We all were saying that it was the Argent tournament, and we were close. We were very close. Eric Dodds was saying that the Argent tournament was over. It was, peacetime, but they still had the tournament grounds. So
right. The
grand tournament now takes place in what was the tournament grounds where the Argent tournament was held, but it's not the Argent tournament.
Yeah, right. As long as they don't go inside the building because it has no floor.
Ah, okay, thank you.
Okay, so listen, I'm going to do the pre-purchase of $49.99, even though we said we weren't going to really spend real money. Onsbane and I decided we're both going to treat
Autumn
ourselves
Spain
to
is
it.
Going to do that?
Yeah.
Well,
we're both...
It's because it's such a good deal.
Yeah, it is a good deal.
At some point, we would buy new cards. Probably
we are
piecemeal.
Saving score
exactly.
with all the gold that we're saving. We're still saving
pack.
The gold.
A dollar a pack's pretty good. Although
so I'll get
Australia,
my 50 packs
more.
And my 18 packs from the 1,800 gold I have. That's going to be mm-hmm. a lot of cards I get.
Yep.
And how cool is that card back?
It's beautiful. What,
it
do,
is
what
a
do you think,
cool
though?
Card back.
Autumn's, yeah, Ugly Brute. Are you going to actually do the pre-purchase?
Yeah, I am definitely.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of the card back, have you seen it animated?
No, I haven't.
It's amazing. All that purple and white pavilion canvas is all flapping like it's got wind behind it. And,
I see it now on the website.
And the shiny silver coat of arms has got like a glistening sort of sunbeam that goes around it as well. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it says it looks better on Google Chrome, and I'm looking at it with a different browser. So I'll have to look at it on Chrome and see how it does it better. So what do you think? I wanted to talk about the marketing strategy for this. You think they... realize how many people buy packs with gold, and this is a way to get a bunch of money up front, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a sensible business plan. No, I don't think it's anything underhanded or unfair.
No, I think it's smart because this is a one-shot deal. People will impulse buy. They'll spend a lot of money on this package, and you can only do it once. It's limited.
Yep.
So you can't put $150 into it. It's only 50. And, they might have remorse later, but they've made the purchase immediately. Whereas after the fact, there's no telling if people would buy any cards, if they might just use gold or whatever. So it's a great marketing plan. I like the fact that you get the bonus of cards for the money and the card back. So it's like a double deal.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe they've noticed that. Maybe they thought, look, based on... previous releases, we might have to sweeten the deal just a little bit more, maybe make these packs a little bit cheaper as well for the pre-order.
So sure. how much gold have you saved, Ugly Brute?
I have now got 805 gold. Ooh. I don't know how I've got a 5. I don't know why
I have
a 5
too.
5 gold.
I have a 5
how does
also.
That happen?
Mick says it's from Arena.
Ah.
That Arena gives you odd bits of
yeah,
gold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That could be, because I have 1385, and then there's Autumn's Bane that we won't ever get close to.
Come on, Autumn's Bane.
I'll be broke the day after this expansion comes out.
What are you up to?
1805.
Jeez. Okay.
So you'll probably have 2000 by August.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I may, I'll probably end up, because of the pre-order, with a lot more cards than I had in Gnomes vs. Goblins.
70. Mm-hmm. 70 packs you're going to have on day one, Autumn's Bane?
Probably.
Wow.
It's going to be a card opening.
You'll have to stream opening it.
Yep. So this deal goes live this week, probably tomorrow, because they seem to do everything on Tuesdays. So we should be able to make that purchase now. Obviously, we won't get the cards in advance. You think they're going to give us the card back in advance?
Yep. As soon as you purchase, you'll get the card back.
They did that with BlackRock.
Yeah.
I might have to give up my Heroes of the Storm card back. I don't know.
They like
just for a little while.
Now you can hand pick which deck gets which card back.
I know, but I like the same deck. I like my card back. So I tend to put them on the same deck, so I'm kind of boring that way. Until I switch them out.
Let's talk about
Justicar Trueheart.
She's my favorite.
A paladin, I would say. Maybe. I don't know if she... I don't think she's a paladin card. I'm sure she'll be neutral.
No, she's got a neutral card back.
Yeah, but she looks like... Well, she's a jouster. And her battle cry is, replace your starting hero power with a better one. She's a 6 casting cost, 6/3 creature. Right there, she's nothing to sneeze about. But she is a legend, and... she replaces your starting hero power with a better one. So there are 9 hero powers.
Before we get to the hero powers, I just want to say, it's great that they made that a battle cry, because she's only got 3 health, which means she could be taken out quickly. So mm-hmm. it's not one of those cards where the hero power is better when she's in play. It's done deal, and there's no way to reverse it. Unless there's a card that hasn't been revealed yet that reverses.
No, because like with that Shadow Priest, there's no way once a priest actually goes shadow, not caused by that card, you can't reverse that. This is the same thing. So, since you played a priest this week, why don't you talk about the first card, Ugly Brute?
First hero power.
Mm-hmm. First hero power after that battle cry.
Okay, but... What I'm seeing on my screen, the first one is Dire Shapeshift, or do you want me to do the heal one? Sorry.
Oh.
No, you're on a different screen.
Oh,
we're looking at the 9 cards that come from the Justicar Trueheart. Do you not have that?
I do, but for some reason on my screen, just to make things hard for us, it's the wrong way around. But I'll talk about the heal.
We took it from the BattleNet launcher.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at it on Halfborn, so that's my mistake.
Okay.
But the heal one, so as we all know, if you're a priest, you can heal yourself or any minion for 2 health. But if Justicar Trueheart comes out, then your heal becomes 4 health to yourself or any minion. So that is going to be fantastic, especially when you consider by turn 6 where she can come out, you probably are going to have some creatures on the board that have got quite large health, and to be able to keep them healthy with a 4 heal every turn is going to be amazing.
Amazing if you're a priest.
And yes. It's going to pump those light wells that get damaged that need to be pumped up again so that they can be 17-17 creatures.
Not that we hate priests or anything.
No, there's no priest hate here. I play one in Warcraft. The next card, why don't you go ahead and do that one, Autumn's Bane, because you know I want to do the next one.
All right. It's Poison Daggers for the Rogue. Hero power. Equip a equip a 2/2 weapon.
So I should probably use that one before I use my Tinker's Sharpsword Oil.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. It's not that impressive. I think the heal on the priest is more impressive than the Poison Dagger, because all it's doing is giving... It already gives a 1/2 weapon, so now it's a 2/2 weapon. If it was a 2/4 weapon, I would say that was a serious increase. But the 2/2 doesn't really wow me, not like the priest did.
Well, not to jump ahead, but I'm going to jump ahead. If you look, every hero power, except the hunter, gets doubled.
Not really.
Hold on.
Because my lovely one next is not doubled.
Let me finish. Everything that grants... No?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, except for
We don't have the marriage counselor anymore, guys, so careful.
Except for the hunter and the shaman. The shaman's is very different. The others are just pretty much, you know,
doubled.
Double. You know, except the hunter only gets three, but, you know, the priest goes from 2 to 4, the rogue goes from 1 to 2, the mage goes from 1 to 2, but anyway, it's just an observation, but go ahead, talk about your shaman.
My shaman. Totemic Slam. Hero power. Summon a totem of your choice.
I like
that. When I want my totem to be a
taunt
shield, taunt, I can have it. When I want it to give extra spell power, I can have it. I love this. This Justicar is going in, if I get her. You have to get the card first, but she's going into my shaman deck, and I will probably save. I could save my dust and craft her. Not long, because I have probably 1,500 dust already.
Yeah, that's a. And think of all the dust you'll get after you buy all these packs and get the duplicates.
Yep, yep.
I want to see I want to see the animation for that one too. Like, you know, when you press your hero power, it probably brings all the totems up for you to select from, or something like that.
Yeah, it's got to be awesome. So I think that the hero power up. From the shaman is probably the best. I really do. Pick your own totem. Oh, okay.
This hero power alone could bring shaman back to the top, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. Next card. Ugly Breeze.
I don't get it.
If you could please tell me which one it is on the
warlock.
The warlock? Yes.
I don't get
that's
it.
That's a scary one because they don't get 2 damage anymore.
Right. They just draw a card.
They're not getting hurt.
So pretty scary. Pretty scary.
I'm looking and it says draw a card. Well, they draw a card anyway. Oh, I get it. They don't take that.
No ouchies.
No longer can you sit there waiting for the warlock to kill himself.
This may turn out to be, in the end, the most overpowered hero. I was thinking the priest was, but this, oh wow.
Yeah.
So many warlock decks rely on drawing cards.
I have a handlock deck.
To do it and not take damage.
The only sad thing is, sorry, you go.
Go ahead. And then with the inspire on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Did we talk about inspire yet?
Not just briefly. Well, we just mentioned that when you that inspire triggers every time you cast your hero power.
That could be one reason why they did it, actually, to be able to allow warlocks to access inspire more often without worrying about the health. The only sad thing about this one is you can't commit suicide anymore if you're at 2 health and you're losing.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true.
Yeah, they do want you to use the hero power a lot more in this expansion. And so many of the hero powers now are just kind of, I've got no cards, let me do it. You know, so, yeah, this is just amazing.
Speaking of heroes, I met up with one Medivh this week. Again, I only, during the week, seem to run into one card, you know, one new hero. I really don't think that it sold like they thought it would.
Well, I tweeted out a picture of my Illyria facing a Medivh. That's the first time. That's the only time that's happened to me, where a random opponent had that while I had mine up.
And just very briefly, while we're talking about Medivh, one of my friends had an embarrassing moment where he said to me that he had bought Medivh and he was enjoying playing with Medivh. And I said, "What do you think of the card back?" And he said, "What card back?" And I said, "The card back that you get with Medivh." And he goes, "Do I get a card back with it?" And I said, "Yeah, go and have a look in your collection." So he went and had a look in his collection. And then he said to me, "I can't believe I didn't know I had that card back."
That's funny.
That was an embarrassing moment for him.
That's great. Armsbane, tank up.
Okay, tank up. This is cool. And this is going to make warrior decks really rock. Hero power, gain 4 armor. Ouch.
I wonder if there's an Aspire that removes the hero power of a hero. I just, wow, these things are, ouch.
As if Warrior didn't already have enough armor up ability. Two?
They're going to make games go longer, that's for sure.
Silver
Hand. Oh my goodness, could you imagine Warrior versus Priest now? It's going to be like an hour and a
armor
half
up,
games.
Heal up.
Oh
armor
my
up,
God.
Heal up.
Oh my God. But you can't increase your health past 30 for a priest, but you can make your health equal to 60 with a tank, with
that
a warrior, because you could have 30, and then you could have 30 armor.
Yeah, well, the cleric, the priest, basically gets a vitality totem.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I thought when I saw that four. The paladin is the silver hand. And just like everything else, it's kind of doubling up things. Instead of one recruit, you get 2 1-1 recruits. Yeah.
Pretty nice,
especially
since you're
pretty pretty too.
And you have cards now that affect Silverhand recruits.
Right, and cards that there's a weapon that comes out and tosses out for Silverhand recruits. So you can have lots of Silverhand recruits on the board very quickly. So that's the paladin. Ugly Brute, the mage. Autumn's name kind of cheated and said what it did, but Fire Blast rank 2.
Yeah, that's okay. So Fire Blast rank 2, instead of dealing only 1 damage, you can now deal 2 damage with your Fire Blast. And I don't want to go into other cards too much, but I think that Mage is also going to get another card which allows them to use their hero power as many times as they want each turn, as long as they've got the mana. So
this is gonna
you can
hurt.
Imagine what's going to happen there.
This is really going to be a ouch card. Yeah. Think about your Knife Juggler. I cast things out first. I put minions out first to protect my Knife Juggler so it won't be the focus. And a Knife Juggler is nice and safe against a mage because it only does 1 damage and the Knife Juggler has 2.
Yeah.
Forget
well, there's
that
always
theory.
Been the debate about, you know, why do the hunters get 2 damage versus the 1 for the mage? And the answer has been because the mage can direct where she wants it to go. Now
exactly.
She essentially has the hunter's steady shot that she could point at anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And
think of the...
there are a lot of good minions out there. Like, you go through the sacrifice of calling out an arcane golem. You give your opponent extra mana for the sake of having a 4-2 minion. And on the next turn, pop, dead.
Exactly, and the amount of trading up you could do, like if you're a mage and you've got a minion on the board with 3 power, you can hit something with 5 health, and then you can destroy it with your hero power. So the amount of trading up you can do is going to be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's powerful.
Yep.
Honor's Bane.
Oh, yes. Steady shot becomes ballista shot for the hunter. Hero power, deal 3 damage to the enemy hero. Now, I know why they didn't double it. Like, face hunters aren't bad enough already. 3 damage, I suppose, is probably fair. 4 would probably be overpowered. It's just odd that of the ones that there's a number involved, it's the only one that's not doubled.
There's only one thing I don't like about this one. Do you know what it is?
No. What?
It's called Ballista Shot, right? Now, what are the chances that a hunter is going to try
use
and sneak through a forest with a ballista?
Yeah, well, they show arrows.
They show 3 arrows. It should be more like...
You can't exactly sneak
more
up
like
on some game with a ballista.
Right.
More like a Gatling gun.
And the final card, or the final hero power, is for the druid, Dire Shapeshift. Hero power is gain 2 armor and 2 attack this turn.
That could
I could have gone dire.
Yeah.
Because
a dire
wolf is way more impressive than a normal wolf.
This is like having the warrior's hero power plus getting 2 attack. That's pretty good. And then when the, I forget the name of the druid spell, that Savage Roar, I think it is, gives everything extra
plus 3?
Damage.
Plus 3, yeah.
Including the hero. So that 3 plus the 2, so that's 5 just from the hero. Forget about the minions that are out there.
Based on what you've just said, Autumn Spain, I'll probably say that that's probably the most versatile of all of these, is the druid one.
I
right,
agree.
Because
you get armor and attack.
You protect yourself when you smack into something.
Yeah.
So you can knock out minions that do 2 damage to you and essentially take nothing.
Exactly. I'd probably say the weakest one would be the Silverhand Recruit, maybe. It'll tie in nice with things like knife jugglers and stuff, but I think it's probably the weakest of them in my unprofessional view.
No, I agree with you. All the others are pretty potent. This one's kind of weak.
Yes.
I mean, it's nice, but it's not wow like the others.
Well, I don't think the rogue one is very wow either, because as I said, it's only one more point of damage.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
One more point of damage.
Still...
Yeah, but look at what it does.
Oh,
with,
yeah, the
with
durability
the...
doesn't increase.
Like, that's
the durability
what I'm
is normally
about.
Two
it's
anyway.
Still... Exactly.
I think
so
it would
it's
be
really
too powerful.
That...
It would be too powerful if it had durability plus two. But if it stayed at one power but durability three, then you could throw your poisons and stuff on it and get three uses out of it.
Yeah, but look what you're talking about against a druid who has now two armor and two attack.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't stand up to the others. So I think it's actually the paladin and the rogue were kind of
that
missed
being
the
said,
boat
though,
a little
Black
bit.
Lace, I think the reason why that's still fair, though, Black Lace, is because Druid doesn't have any enhancement spells for their weapon. So they have to be careful there.
Well,
like,
I just
can't...
named one.
What was that?
Savage Roar is an enhancement
oh, yeah,
to their
true.
Weapon.
That's true. Yeah, it's like a once-off. But yeah, I still think it was smarter than how they did it with the Rogue because of the Rogue's ability to... enhance and then also flurry and things like that.
I'm sure they playtested the crap out of this.
Oh,
and they
yeah,
probably
sure.
tried giving them more and thought it was too much and pulled back.
Yeah, I still reckon though for the rogue it should have been a 1-3, like 1 power 3 durability.
Yeah, as much as I've complained about some cards and saying off the cuff, geez, Blizzard, don't you playtest these things? I know that they playtest these things extensively. In fact, they've added members to the team in the past year that do nothing but playtest these things.
Exactly. And I think that their head of the balancing department is actually the original balancing director for Magic.
Oh, interesting. Wonder.
Yeah.
So just to remind people, all these hero powers come about because of the legendary card, Justicar Trueheart. And she's a 6 casting cost, so that's pretty cool. So you won't always be getting these. You have to have her before you can have these things.
Do you guys reckon she's going to become a stayed and true card in every deck for a while? Or
I think
a lot of people
her.
Are going to play it.
Yeah, I will yeah. craft this card. There's no doubt in my mind that when I was trying to figure out what's my next legendary to craft, if I don't get her with my first 70 packs.
The only decks that I think we won't see her in March are the aggro decks because she's too late in the game.
Right.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yep, because she's 6 casting. All right,
yeah,
let's go
and
over.
Your question should have been, do you think we'll see it much on the ladder? Because
yeah,
we're talking from the casual's point of view. This is going to be a fun card to play in a casual deck. I'm
Absolutely.
Not so sure what it'll do on the ladder, but I know I'm going to have fun with it.
Yep.
If I get it.
Okay, so we're going to just give you all little teasers. We have only a few minutes left, so each of us is going to just take one card that is coming out in the new series and talk about it. I'll start it with the Frost Giant, which is an epic 10 casting cost, 8/8, costs one less for each time you used your hero power this game. So now it's going to take you a couple rounds to use your hero power. That's a pretty impressive card. What do you guys think of it? I think it's pretty. I don't do giants. I don't use them. I don't think I have a single deck that has it. I've seen them used against me very well. And I think that this is just another cool way of bringing a giant out. What do you guys think of it?
You go first.
No, you go. You go.
Okay. I think it's probably the best of the giants because this is a giant that can be accessed by any class. It can probably also be accessed by any archetype like aggro, mid-range, control. I mean, sure, it starts at 10, but that's going to very quickly go down with the amount of times you use your hero power. I think it might be a bit OP in Handlock. Because you think about it, Handlock, they spend their first 4 turns just purely hero powering. So by the time by the time they get around to having these guys in their hand, they're going to be able to pretty much play them. So there's going to be even more giants to deal with on the hand lock.
Yeah, especially if they end up having an enhanced hero power where they take no damage.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I can see this coming out pretty quick. Also, think about the druid. Druid will get mana crystals and things like that coming out, which they can also throw towards this card while they're doing their 1-1 or 2-2 hero powers. Well, that again after 6 mana to cast her. Autumn's Bane, do you want to do the North Sea Kraken?
No, I don't want to do a Kraken, but I'll read the card. It's a 9 casting cost.
I don't do giants either, but oh, sorry, honey.
It's a 9 casting cost minion. 9/7, pretty beefy. Battle cry, deal 4 damage. Ordinarily, I'd say a 9/7 for 9 is no big deal, but to do 4 damage, it's late game. So it could be used quite strategically, like getting a mini fireball for free. So and it's a common, so I think that's a very worthy common card. You know, I don't know if I'll use it, because it's not a beast or anything like that. So
it's not a dragon either. You would think
it wouldn't help. Yeah, it wouldn't help a dragon or a hunter deck. But it's okay.
I think he's a naga, isn't he? It's a naga?
No, a kraken.
Oh, a kraken! I thought krakens were.
No, they're big giant creatures.
It's a sea serpent.
Yeah.
Yep.
Clash of the Titans. Kraken.
I don't think he's as impressive as some of the other 9 mana cards, to be honest.
It was a Kraken daily quest near the Argent Tournament, in fact. That you would go out, you would get the quest from one of the people at the Argent Tournament to fly out and throw these spears at the Kraken. And you'd make sometimes several runs, but when you killed it, you got some kind of reward. So this ties very nicely into the theme.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, though, for 9 mana, I'd rather see, I'd rather play Nefarian or something, because you think about it, getting 2 spells, those 2 spells are most likely to do way more than 4 damage.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. It's just that this is a common card, so if you don't have those cool legendaries, for somebody with a small card pool,
it's a common card, yep.
Yeah.
Don't forget there are also cards out there that enhance the damage. So that if you've got certain totems or if you've got certain creatures out there, your deal 4 damage could, I think, be changed to 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right.
Depending on the cards you have out.
Kraken on steroids.
Yes. Ugly Boot, take the last one for the night.
I am fortunate enough to get the legend, Sky Captain Krag. And I must admit, I love the way they've done him. He's Spalder? What do you call the shoulder armor? Autumn's Bane? Spalder?
Yeah, you could call it a spalder.
Yeah. Looks like
a pauldron.
Shark's jaw. The end of his lance is a pirate's hook, which I reckon is perfect.
Actually, that's an extension of his arm. So he's got the typical hooked arm, but a very long one, as long as a lance. I don't know how he goes to the bathroom, but anyway.
And do you want to know something else, Autumn's Bane? If you turn his mount around, he's got a barrel for a foot. No, I'm joking. But what I like about him, though, is either 1, Sky Captain Krag is very tiny, or 2, he's got a massive parrot.
That's a pretty damn big parrot. I want one as a mount in Warcraft. I've just got to say that.
Well, you're missing the very best part of the card.
Oh, the actual text?
Yes.
Charge! You do it better
exactly.
than I do.
So it costs 1 less for each friendly pirate. So it looks like they really are trying to encourage some pirate themes to come out with this new expansion. Let's hope that there's going to be some other pirates to add, so that we really can get some
serious
pirate decks happening. And I just want to know how big the crackers are that Sky Captain Krag has to keep for this parrot.
Very big crackers.
Very big crackers.
Maybe he doesn't feed him crackers. Maybe he feeds him Kraken.
Good one.
Thatch roofs and Stormwind.
Classic.
I just want to know who cleans its cage. All right.
But I know you said we're only going to do 3 cards, and I'm not going to read any other cards. But I just want to say that these cards are beautiful.
They are.
Oh, the artwork. They are.
The Sacred Warrior, if you scroll down, it's just gorgeous. It reminds me of, I was telling Ugly Brute earlier, one of the angels from Magic the Gathering. They had a lot
Even
of angel cards.
Even to the left
cards.
Of her is the Maiden of the Lake. It's also beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful cards.
Guys, have you ever watched those movies where they're usually martial arts movies where a person goes all around the world and they find the best fighters and they give them a special sword or invitation or something to come to an island for a big tournament? Have you ever seen those sort of movies?
No.
Yes, I've seen movies like that, and usually when they get there, they get killed.
Well, this hopefully doesn't happen, but I reckon that's what Blizzard does. I reckon Blizzard goes all around the world to all the best artists, and they just present them with like a golden pencil or something and say, look, come to our islands and draw the best drawings that have ever been drawn. And they come to that island and they draw these drawings. But hopefully Blizzard doesn't kill them on the island.
Yeah, right. Well, these are all staff artists. Magic the Gathering was famous for doing that. There were even cards drawn by the Hildebrandt brothers back in the day. So if this game has the legs we think it does, I wouldn't be surprised if they get some well-known artists out there to do, work per diem for a special, mm-hmm. For an expansion or something.
One more card for people to look up for the artwork is Effigy, and imagine that
when it is
actually animated. It will be phenomenal. So
I am crying that there's another secret, though.
Yep, we're gonna go through more cards next week. We'll probably have even more than we've got here to talk about. We're gonna just move this along here. Autumn's Bane, tell us more about our tourney. There are still people who need emails to be sent, and some people still want to join. And how many do we have? Etc., etc., etc.
Well, instead of saying how many we have, I should use the more appropriate number.
How many spots we have left. Right.
And that is, we have 10? 4 openings.
Oh, 4?
Yep, we're 28 players. We have 4 openings.
Nice. Only a few more days, folks, the end of this week. You there, Autumn's Bane?
Yeah, I just got a virus warning on my computer. And it was ringing in my headphones. So I'm sorry. And any event, Micmac just joined this week. So our old champion is coming back because he's not part of the show. So therefore,
maybe he'll win and he can be a guest on the show.
You know, I haven't seen previous other winners signing up. He's the only. Oh, no, Dustin the White is there too. So
Dustin.
That's at least 2. But only have 4 openings today. Somebody sent me an email saying, please send me the invitation. I didn't get one.
So that'll probably be somebody who
sends it in. So, really exciting. I do want at this moment to do a shout out to Ro at Realm Maintenance. Realm Maintenance is a podcast that basically promotes the podcasts made for all Blizzard products. And we were on his most recent show, not us personally, but he mentioned us and he mentioned our tournament. And so we got shout out from Ro there. So thanks again, Ro, for all you do for the community.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I heard that as well. That was lovely that he mentioned us there.
Yep. So again, it would be cool if he wanted to join. Please send us an email. Anybody who wants to join, again, we have very limited spots left for the tournament. The spots close on this Saturday, which is August 1st already.
Don't be too suspicious if you get a entry from someone called Handsome Brute.
Handsome Brute.
Yeah, it's not me, guys. It's not me.
I wouldn't be suspicious at all.
what about his brother, Ugly Wimp?
Oh, dear. All right. So, again, folks, send us your emails. We'd love to talk about topics you'd like to hear us talk about. Send emails for that. Send emails with your decks that I can play with. Send emails with your oopses for our embarrassing moments. Even if it's something like not noticing you've got a card back that you never had before until somebody else tells you. Send us those emails. And the biggest news for us tonight is we made 500 on the Twitter scale and got a notification from Twitter congratulating us. We actually have 501 followers now. So thank you all for that. Ugly Brute, Onsbane, anything else to say for the evening before we tie it up?
No, just the Twitter thing made me excited. So we don't ask for money. We just ask for praise. So when you follow us or like us or send us reviews, it means a lot to us. We like glow for the rest of the day when we see those things. So thank you all for supporting the show.
Mm-hmm. Great listeners. Thank you. All right. So thanks again to Micmac for playing and sending your streams to us continually, even though you don't have a lot of time anymore. We do appreciate that. You can follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can listen to us live Mondays at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/holosuitemedia. You can send us an email at awohearthstone@gmail.com. Download us on iTunes. Feel free to send us a review. You can follow us and like us on Facebook, AWO Hearthstone. You can find us on Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Holosuite Media and, as always, Xander, the man behind the curtain, who makes this all possible for everybody to listen to and us to yak and yak and yak. And again, thanks to Awesome City Limits for the wonderful theme music that makes us damp and play air guitar. Makes us dance and play air guitar.
Air violin.
Have a great week, everybody. Well, air violin.
Bye.
Bye. Happy hearthing.
Go buy those 50 packs.
'Spain.
Yes.
After all those spicy sausages, I think you are going to be the North Sea Kraken there.
No, oh, I'm actually doing okay.
Production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.
Say it, Xander.
I was just fucking with you to see. Yeah, we're up here.
I can't believe I said that.
Said what?
Awesome City Limits makes us damp.
Well, I get a kick out of it. First time I heard them, they made me damp.
Oh, my God.